Our scripture today is going to come from Psalm chapter 27, verse 1. We'll read that together. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom should I dread?" Let's pray together. Here at Hope Church, we don't like to pray for you. We want to pray with you. So I'm just going to guide us through this prayer time. First and foremost, tell the Lord you love him. From your heart to the heart of the Father, just pray and tell the Lord you love him. You can use a song. You can use your own words. You can use a scripture verse. Just let him know the love you have for our God this morning. Now let that move you into a time of giving thanks. Thank the Lord for his faithfulness to you. Thank him for things that you've seen him do. Thank him for who he is. Thank him for what he's given you. Even thank him for things he's withheld from you. Thank the Lord for his goodness. Let that move you into a time of confession. Scripture says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But we can boldly confess our sin, knowing that there's forgiveness, that there's grace to help us in our time of need. So confess your sin to the Lord in full view of God's forgiveness and his love for you. And let it lead you to repentance. Take time to confess and receive God's forgiveness. If you have needs in your own life, in your family's life, just lift those up before the Lord. He knows them. Scripture says he knows what we need before we even ask him. But he wants to hear from his children. Lift up your needs to the Father. And let that move you into just lifting up needs that you see around you, just in your life, your school, in your nation, in this nation and the nations. We continue to lift up the war between Russia and Ukraine, Israel and Hamas. We continue to pray for peace of Jerusalem. We continue to pray for God's intervention in this world. Just pray for needs that you see. Pray for those around you, seated around you this morning. Pray that this morning, that this will not just be a routine thing that we do. Pray that God would work in their hearts. Pray that God would just reveal himself to those around you. And pray that God would just, his blessings be on them, his face shine on them. And then lastly, one more time, tell the Lord you love him. I know we've already said it, but we can't say it enough, and he can't hear it enough. Tell the Lord that you love him this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we are here because we love you. We are here because you love us. God, we love because you first loved. God, we are here because you are here. Lord, we know, we recognize that we're not just doing religion this morning. We are not here praying to good philosophy. We are not here praying to a good idea. We are praying to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the maker of heaven and earth, the God of the universe who is with us in this place this morning. You're with your children. This is where you want to be. You want to be with us. And so God, we praise you that because we don't deserve that. And yet here we are. And here you are. Lord, I pray that as we continue to go through this service, as I preach, Father, just soften hearts. Let your word seep in and do what only your word can do. Holy Spirit, You can do abundantly more than I could even ask or think. My words, God, they're just words without the power of your scripture and without the power of your spirit. So Lord, just do what only you can do. We pray for dead things to raise to life. We pray for repentance. We pray for increased faith and just a renewal of strength in this place today, God. And Lord, of everyone in here, just I pray that I'm the biggest student. God, that I'm the biggest learner of all that I'm preaching. God, I can sit up here and preach till my lungs give out. But Lord, if I'm not doing it, if it's not seeping into my heart, God, just seep it into my heart. God, I need you desperately. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So good morning. Welcome to Hope Church. My name is Logan Smith. I'm one of the pastors here. And usually on Labor Day weekend, our lead pastor, Jeff Eaton, he is off at Lake Cumberland preaching there. And it's something that he has done for the past several years. Jeff, unfortunately, has not been able to go this year. He is actually at home with COVID. And he, just to be honest with you guys, it's been a rough go. So please lift him up in your prayers. It's been a, I know this one's been a really hard round on him. So lift him up in your prayers. Just pray for Julie. Pray that she don't get it. And pray that, you know, she's got to be with Jeff in the house for a week. You know, just pray for her. So I'm here today. I'm going to preach today. I hope that's fine. If not, too late. So we've been in a focus these past several weeks on strength. We have looked at just the strength that we have in temptation. We've looked at the Lord being our strength, different postures of strength that we can take, and much more. Today, we're going to be kind of wrapping up this focus. Next week, we're going to be beginning a new focus on wisdom, godly wisdom, and what that means and what that looks like lived out in our lives. And so I'm really excited for that. Hope you all are as well. Man, this has just been a really awesome focus that we've been going through in strength. And so today, we're going to kind of wrap this up, okay? We're going to walk through this Psalm 27. We're going to unpack the entire chapter. We're going to see four different sources of strength. I think we've hit on all of them at some point throughout this series, but there's just four things that I really want to hammer in today. So just fair warning, there's going to be a lot of scripture, so be ready for that. But let's go. So Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom should I dread? When evildoers come against me to devour my flesh, my foes and my enemies stumbled and fell. Though an army deploys against me, my heart will not be afraid. Though a war breaks out against me, I will still be confident. So we're going to stop there. So the first source of strength, like I said, we're going to unpack four sources of strength that we see in the psalm, okay? So the very first one is that we find strength in reflection. Strength in reflection, okay? So this is a psalm of King David, and as we see here in these verses, he's pretty confident in the power of God to protect him and give him victory, all right? Now listen, this is saying a lot for David to say that he is confident in the strength of the Lord, okay? Because listen, I know every single person in this room, we have all gone through something hard, right? Like we've all gone through difficulty. We've all gone through challenges. I don't think that any one of us though have ever had a king of an entire country try and kill us, like single us out for death. Now, if you have, come see me afterwards. I would love to talk to you. That'd be a really cool story, okay? But I don't think that's happened to any of us in this room. But David, like David's been through the ringer, right? Like David has gone through more than you and I could possibly imagine. And yet he is sitting here going, the Lord is my strength. He's my stronghold. Who should I be afraid of, right? And so that word stronghold in verse 1, it's going to be very important later on, all right? So I want you to hold on to that word stronghold. But right now, I want to focus on verse 2. Look at the words that David uses here. He says, when evildoers came against me to devour my flesh, my foes and my enemies stumbled and fell. What's the significance of those words that we see there? They're all past tense, meaning that these are things that have already happened in David's life. David has seen God be strong in delivering him from his enemies before. So let's think about this, all right? So the obvious one's Goliath. Right, like David, just this little kid facing up against the giant of the Philistines, and he has seen God take him out with just a sling and a rock. Right, it says that he was a shepherd, and as a shepherd, he would often fight off lions and bears. I don't know about tigers, if you get the Wizard of Oz reference there, he would often fight off lions and bears to protect his flock, right? David is a mighty warrior. He has been in battle after battle after battle, and it says that, and if you read about it in 1 Samuel, there's even songs written about David killing his tens of thousands. He's just a mighty warrior. And then again, he said King Saul himself single him out for death and set whole armies against him, all right? But in all these things, there's one common denominator, and that is that God was with him and God gave him victory. He has seen this in his life. And so because David has seen God's faithfulness before, he is able to say in the next verse that were a whole army to come against him, were a whole war to break out against him, he's going to remain confident. Why? Because he's already seen God come through. In his reflection on God's past victory in his life, David is confident of future victory in his life. So church, let me ask you, have you ever seen God be faithful to you before? Have you ever been to a point where you thought there is no possible way for me to move forward, and yet God made a way for you to move forward? Has there ever been a point in your life where you thought that nothing possibly good can come out of this, and yet God showed up and brought goodness out of ashes? Listen, if God has been faithful to you before, what makes you think he's not going to be faithful to you still? And listen, some of y'all in this room, you may be thinking, you know what? Like, I can't, if I'm just going to be honest, like, I can't think of a specific instance in which I've seen this happen. Maybe some of y'all, like, you're being really honest with yourself, and you're thinking, you know, that I've been through struggle that I've not really seen a great outcome with, and I've not seen God be faithful. Listen, if that's you this morning, let me assure you that God has still been faithful to you. And I say that with confidence, because all I've got to do to know this for sure is I've just got to look at the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why do I go there? Because when I go to the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, we see that Jesus won the ultimate victory over the ultimate enemy you may not even know you have, and that is sin and death. That sin and death that holds you captive, that holds you condemned. And he went to the cross, he bore the weight of sin, and he rose from the dead so that when we would place our faith and trust in him, his victory over sin and death will become our victory over sin and death. I mean, we have a saying here at Hope Church that if God never did another thing for me other than send Jesus Christ to die and rise again, it would have been enough. It's enough. He has been faithful to you. Even if you can't see it, he has been faithful to you. And again, listen, if Jesus Christ can attain victory over sin and death, what makes us think that he cannot win victory over whatever else it is that we go through? Guys, he has won victory. And let me further this connection between this psalm and Jesus' victory at the cross and resurrection. Look again at verse 1 here in Psalm 27. David begins it by saying, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Look at John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to them again, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus Christ is our light and our salvation. He is the one who destroyed the powers of darkness through cross and resurrection. Look at John 16, 33. He says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world, but be courageous. Take heart. I have overcome. I have conquered the world." Jesus has conquered this world. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the one who has conquered sin and death, who has conquered this world, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if Jesus was faithful yesterday, will he not be faithful today? And if Jesus is faithful today, will he not be faithful tomorrow and for all eternity? Yes. He will be. David knew that for him to walk in the strength and confidence of God's victory, he needed to look back and reflect on past victory. He needed to look at that. We know that Christ has been victorious for all of us generally, but what about you specifically? I mean, guys, what are the ways you have seen God be faithful to you, that you've seen him give you a victory that you didn't think was possible? Because listen, nowhere in Scripture are you promised a suffering or hardship-free life. You will not find that in the Bible. I mean, as a matter of fact, like one of the biggest challenges, one of the biggest things I hear a lot of people, we're in a, just this, right now, just the culture that we're in, there's this huge movement of deconstruction. Where people are just they're deconstructing their faith. And one of the biggest causes of this is, well, there's just so much suffering and so much evil in the world. Why would God allow this? Well, guys, let me tell you something. God never promised that that wouldn't happen. As a matter of fact, he promised it will happen. He says, but I've conquered it. But it will not have the final say. He says, you trust me, you place your faith in me, then this will not have the final say in your life. Will I have a say? Sure, but it ain't gonna have the final say because Christ has the final say. His victory in the past is assurance of victory in the future. So we find strength in reflecting that if he has been faithful, if he has been victorious, then we know he will be faithful and he will be victorious. So that's the first place we see that we get strength, first source of strength. We get strength in reflection. So let's continue on in the Psalm, chapter 27, verses 4 through 8. David says, I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord, seeking him in his temple. For he will conceal me in his shelter in the day of adversity. He will hide me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Then my head will be high above my enemies around me. I will offer sacrifices in his tent with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Lord, hear my voice when I call. Be gracious to me and answer me. My heart says this about you. Seek his face. Lord, I will seek your face. So we're going to spend a little bit more time on this point, okay? Because here you see David shift his thinking, his flow a little bit, right? So he begins the psalm with reflection, but he's moving to a point of just desire and yearning, okay? And here's where we find our second source of strength, and that is there is strength in the presence of God. There's strength in presence. I mean, again, look at David's yearning here. Look at verse 4. It says, one thing I would ask of the Lord. Now, you guys remember, David's king, which means David's got stuff. He's rich. Like, if you got stuff, David's got stuff. You know what I mean? Like, your stuff is no stuff compared to David's stuff. Dude has got everything he wants, and yet he says, I'm asking for one thing, and that is to be in the presence of my God. Now, let me be clear about what that does not mean. That does not mean David just wants to go to church. Because listen, you all can go to church all you want and never be in the presence of God. He does not mean I just need another Bible study. He's not saying I need a men's group. He's saying I need the presence of God. Because again, you can have all those things and never be in the presence of God. David's like, no, I want the Father. I want to be in the presence of my God, okay? And so he says, I want to spend the eternity of my days with no one but the Father. Why does he want this so bad? Why does the psalm move so quickly to this yearning for the presence? Well, Look at what he says he gets in the presence. Look at verse 5. He says, he will conceal me in a shelter. In the day of adversity, he will hide me under the cover of his tent, and he will set me high on the rock. Now, I love the high on the rock part. We're going to talk about that here in a second, okay? But listen, church, if you've been here for any significant period of time, you know that the one thing that we have tried to just absolutely hammer into you all is that you've got to be alone with the Father. You've got to go be alone with the Father. So listen, God has blessed me with two beautiful little sermon illustrations that I call Ezra and Melody. All right, those are my kids. Now, as a parent, all you parents, you know this. So like Melody, she's going to be 2 in just like 2 weeks, which is just dumb. And then Ezra's 6 years old and he just started first grade, okay? And so as parents, you all know that there's great joy and yet great heartbreak at watching your kids grow up. Like there's such a joy when your kids take their first steps and then such a heartbreak when they don't sit back down. Like there's so much joy when they start saying their first words and so much heartbreak when they won't stop talking. You know what I mean? Like there's joy and there's heartbreak here. But as you watch your kids grow up, and look, I'm just starting to see this with my kids, okay? Like just a couple weeks ago, I watched my son walk into first grade and it just like, it hurts. You know what I mean? Especially he walks in all confidently and I'm like, all right, cool, bro, whatever, you know, good to see you too. And he just walks out of the car like, peace out, Dad. And then there's just like a joy in that, but there's a hurt in that because they're maturing, right? And like a lot of you parents, I mean, we just had 17 seniors graduate out of our student ministry this year. A lot of y'all parents saw your kids leave the nest. And that's not easy. I mean, I've got a while before that happens with mine, but I know it's not gonna be easy. And they're going to school and they're just maturing. They're these independent people who can take care of themselves, who can, you know, I hope, feed themselves and clothe themselves and all these things by themselves, right? And it makes you yearn for the days where you had to do all those things for them, right? Like even now, again, like I'm still having to do most of the things for my daughter, but even my son, like he can do most stuff by himself. And like I'm very rarely on Facebook anymore, purely for the sake of sanity. but I'm very rarely on Facebook anymore, but almost every time I get on there, there's always those stupid Facebook memories. Y'all know what I'm talking about, where it shows like maybe some really embarrassing status you put 12 years ago or something like that. But for me, it's usually pictures of my kids. Like there's pictures of Ezra when he was, we're taking him to the zoo for the first time. He's just so little and there's that joy of discovery and excitement being at the zoo. And yeah, he still gets excited, but it's not the same as it was when he first went. You know what I mean? And like it makes you want to throw your phone across the room and be like, stop, right? Because it just like hurts the soul a little bit. But this is what we want for our kids, right? We do want them to mature. We want them to grow up. We want them to be able to walk independently and to have that new life and that's eventually where we want them to get to. Well, listen, guys, the kingdom of God is backwards. Because in the kingdom of God, you don't mature to independence of the Father. You revert back to greater dependence on the Father. You come to the Father as an independent adult and you leave and you get to the Father and you come and you grow into a dependent child. Like, I think one of the greatest reasons why we struggle with strength is because we do everything apart from God. Man, I want to do all these godly things in my life and I want to see all these things happen in my life, but I'm trying to do it independently of the Father. Listen, you're not a child growing up into an adult where you eventually leave the Father. That's not how it works in the kingdom. You become an adult and then grow into a child who becomes dependent on the Father. Like my daughter, she still has to come up to me. She does her little eat, like her sign language when she wants a meal, because she knows that unless we feed her, she's not gonna get to eat. Guys, we've got to go to the Father that way. Where we go to the Father saying, strength, strength, knowing that if I don't go to you, I'm not going to get it. Yes, amen. It's the complete opposite of how we grow up. But that's a beautiful thing. We get to become more and more dependent on the Father. So guys, we have got to go be with the Father. We've got to be in His presence. As a child is so utterly dependent on their parents, that has got to be us with the Father. Like in Matthew 6, verse 6, it says, "When you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Guys, there's reward being in the presence of the Father. And I'm confident that part of that reward is strength. Strength to face temptation. Strength to get through whatever's just you're struggling with at work. Face to deal with difficult family situations. Troubled children. Just strength to just make it through to the next day. Look at Luke chapter 5 verse 16. "Yet he being Jesus, he often withdrew to deserted places and prayed." Guys, if Jesus had to withdraw and go be alone with the Father, how much more do you and I need to? If Jesus needed to go there for strength, how much more do you and I need to go to the Father for strength? And guys, I want to show you just an even deeper dimension to this. I want to show you what happens when we go to the presence of the Father. Go back real quick to Psalm chapter 27, verse 1. It says, "The Lord is the stronghold of my life." Remember I said that that's going to be important later? Well, it's later, and it's important, all right? So if you go look at verses 5 and 6 again in Psalm 27, at the end of verse 5, David says, "He will set me high on a rock." In the beginning of verse 6, he says, "Then my head will be high above my enemies around me." So that word for stronghold in verse 1, that Hebrew word for stronghold, what it gives us a picture of something. And the picture it gives us is actually of a like a fortified castle set on top of a hill. So like, how many Lord of the Rings fans we got in here? Come on, all y'all, you're my people. If you didn't raise your hand, you're missing out. All right, so I'm a nerd and I love Lord of the Rings, all right? And so like when I watch Lord of the Rings, and I hear this word of stronghold and this mountain on a hill, I think of Théoden's castle in Rohan in front of this beautiful mountain range. He's set on this hill. It's a golden castle surrounded by this great big gate that you gotta get through. Like it's just this impenetrable place. And guys, that's the picture that he gives us of a stronghold. And so when David moves to saying that God will lift me high and he will set me high up on a rock and high above the head of my enemies, what David is actually saying is that when I go to the presence of God, it's not him coming down to me, it's him picking me up and putting me where he is. Do you see this? Guys, remember what we talked about last week, Psalm 121 verses 1 and 2. Song of Ascents, "I lift my eyes toward the mountains, to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Do you see what we're saying here? I lift my eyes to the mountains, toward the stronghold, where the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth is. Why? Because if I'm in the presence of God, he is raising me up to where he is. I'm lifted above my enemies. I'm lifted above the sufferings and the hardness of life. And guys, it gets even better than this. We already talked about God's faithfulness to us through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ Jesus, right? But look what this says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. "So if you have been," what? "Raised with Christ, seek the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." So where's Christ? He's raised above. And where does it say I am? Hidden with him. Raised with him, right? So if I'm him with Christ, if I'm where Christ is, this means that God has already raised me up above my enemies. They don't have a hold on me anymore. Why? Because God reached down to where I was to pull me up to where he is. Like, is that not beautiful? Guys, when you go to the presence of God, you got to understand God is raising you up. He is picking you up to where he is. You've already been raised in Christ. And so I am strengthened and comforted and concealed high above my enemies. Guys, if all of this is true, then why would you try and live independently of him? If he wants to bring you into the fortress, into the stronghold, if you are raised with him where he is, why would you try and go through life without him? Guys, I don't know about you, but I want to be where he is. And so I'm going to go to the presence of the Father because that is where I find strength. Raised above my enemies. So there's strength in reflection. There's strength in the presence of God. Let's continue on. Psalm 27, 9 through 12. I told myself this morning was going to be short. My bad. All right. Verses 9 through 12. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not leave me or abandon me, God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord cares for me. Because of my adversaries, show me your way, Lord, and lead me on a level path. Do not give me over to the will of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing violence. All right, so here David starting to look a little bipolar, all right? Because literally right before that, he's talking about desiring the face of the Lord, being in the presence of God, and all the things that God's going to give him. Then all of a sudden, he's like, well, don't turn away from me. Like, what? Like, what's going on here? Look at verse 9, and that gives you the answer, okay? He says, do not turn your servant away in anger. Why would God get angry? Well, Scripture talks about God getting angry, and he's always angry at one thing, and that is disobedience or rebellion. It's rebellion, disobedience, okay? And so we see in verse 11 that David is pleading with God to show me your way, lead me on a level path. He's saying, lead me in the way of obedience, in the way of faithfulness, so that your face will not be turned away from me. So here's the third source of strength we get. Guys, there is strength in obedience. There is strength in obedience. David is praying that God will lead him forward in steps of obedience so that God will not turn his face away in anger. And I know some of y'all might be thinking already, well, Scripture says that God's slow to anger. He's slow to it. Doesn't mean it doesn't happen. Okay? You live a rebellious and a disobedient lifestyle, there is anger. And David's saying, I don't want that to be me. So lead me in an obedient path so that I might have strength with the Lord's face on me. And this is all over Scripture. The most blatant place we see this is James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. He says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. It says you deceive yourself if you do this. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does. Guys, nowhere in Scripture does it say you're blessed simply because you hear. You're blessed when you do. You're blessed when you obey. Now the problem is a lot of us think that, well, God's not going to ask me to do any sort of obedient step that I'm not really ready for. Can I just say, that's like one of the most unbiblical thoughts you could possibly think about the Lord. Like, God ain't waiting around for you to finally get strong so that he can call you to a step of obedience. God calls you to steps of obedience so that you will become strong. You guys, listen, so I go to the gym here in Lawrenceburg at the 24/7, the workout anytime. I see a lot of you all that are in this room, see a lot of y'all in the gym, usually making me look a fool, making me look pretty weak. Appreciate that. But I've got goals as I go into the gym, right? Like, I've got weight that I eventually want to be able to lift on the bench press or in the squat and the leg press or, you know, just whatever. Like, I've got my goals that I want to meet, right? Now, if I walked into the gym and I say, you know what? I'm not lifting until I'm strong enough to lift my goal. Would I ever be able to reach my goal? No. What do I got to do? I got to go in there. I got to start with the lighter weight. I got to start working. I got to build myself up to this goal that I want to get to. Guys, listen, this is the same thing with obedience to the Father. We think that God's just going to wait around and ask us to do something only when we're strong enough to finally do it. Guys, that's not what he's going to do. He's going to ask you into a step of obedience knowing you're not strong enough to do it so that he can be your strength in the obedience and make you stronger to take another step of obedience. That is what he does. He builds you up. He works you out to where you are just a strong person who's ready to step forward in obedience no matter what the step is. But you're not going to get there unless you take the first step of obedience first. Guys, there is strength in obeying what the Lord says. Because the alternative is being disobedient. Where's the strength in that? Like, I want to say this, and I put this in my notes, I didn't say this in the first service. There is no neutral in the kingdom. Like Jesus, he looks at people and he says, look, you're either for me or you're against me. You're either a gatherer or you're a scatterer. There is no middle. There is no just standing there. There is no just, well, I'm here. It is no, you're doing one thing or the other. You're either pushing people towards me or pushing them away from me. You're either walking in obedience or you're walking in disobedience, and only one of those will give you strength. There is no just waiting around, guys. If you're either obedient or you're not. So let's do what gives us strength. Let's just walk in just daily small steps of obedience that strengthen us and build us up in the Lord. So strength in reflection, strength in presence, strength in obedience. The final source of strength we see here, these last two verses, Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14. David says, I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart be courageous. Wait for the Lord. The last source of strength is there's strength in waiting. There's strength in waiting. Guys, listen, this is not just like this kind of passive sitting around hoping for something to maybe one day happen. This is an active waiting with the firm expectation that something will happen. This is a way where we are actively doing something to prepare our hearts and our lives for what is to come. And so what is it that we are doing? What is it we are doing in our active waiting? We're reflecting, we're getting into the presence, and we're being obedient. That's what we're doing. So there's strength in the waiting because we're doing the other three things that give us strength. Right? And guys, listen, so I'm never on Facebook. All right, and here's the deal. No one likes waiting for anything. We just don't. Right? You go to Taco Bell and you sit there and all of a sudden you're waiting 30 minutes to order just a taco and you're just like you're mad, right? Like, we don't like it. You go to a doctor's office and you're sitting in a cold room with people you don't know, magazines you don't care to read, but they're there for some people, I guess. And you're just like, come on, I'm ready for my appointment. Nobody likes waiting. But guys, there's a proper way to wait on the Lord. And when you wait the proper way, you get strength in the waiting period itself. All right, guys, again, I'm not on Facebook much, but I was on there recently and I saw somebody make a post and it didn't make me angry. I don't want you to hear me say that, but it disturbed me and it hurt me because of the conclusions this person came to. This person been dealing with sickness, they're still dealing with the repercussions of their sickness, and they're on here going on this just rant about how God never healed them. And like, this is not like a, you know, like a questioning God's faithfulness to this person. This person was just outright rejecting it, you know, and trying to convince other people to reject it as well. Because they didn't see healing. And look, I'm not saying this person's pain isn't real. I'm not saying that the frustration isn't real. I'm not saying that the questions aren't real. I think all these things are very real. But what I am saying is this person had a false expectation of what it means to wait on God. Because the problem is this person was hoping that God might do something and that it might look like what they think it should look like on their terms and at their time. But that's not whatever happens, guys. Like, we serve a God who, he's an on-time God. We serve a God who is faithful even when we can't see what he's doing. We serve a God who's proven his faithfulness at the cross and resurrection. I mean, guys, listen, I think of people who go through what this person's going through and they're like, why didn't I get healing? And I'm like, look at Jesus. His obedience took him to a cross. Like, why do you think that means God automatically has to heal you? He doesn't. But that doesn't mean he's not good. That doesn't mean he's not been faithful. It doesn't mean that he isn't still working. It doesn't mean that he doesn't want to bring goodness and beauty from ashes. He wants to do those things. Just because it doesn't look like your terms and on your time does not mean that God's not faithful. But if we don't reflect and if we don't spend time in the presence and we aren't walking in obedience, we will never get to that point. We will just sit around twiddling our thumbs, waiting for God to do what we think he should do when he think we should do it. And when that happens, guys, your strength will just be depleted. Yeah. Guys, I'm waiting on the Lord and the Lord's time to do what the Lord is going to do. Because I'm confident that even if God gave this person the healing they were expecting, it would not be as beautiful as what God was trying to give this person were they paying attention. What God wants to give, the way he shows up, guys, that we've got to trust him in his time and on his terms. And David says right there in verse 13, I am certain. There's no wavering of David's confidence here. He says, I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Guys, there is strength in waiting. Again, not this passive twiddling your thumbs, just hoping for something to happen, but an active waiting in which I am reflecting on his past goodness to me. I am sitting in his presence, hearing from him, learning from him, and I am walking in daily obedient steps where I'm seeing him be faithful. There is strength in the waiting. So as we close, the band's going to come back up here. We're going to play another song. And as we come to the invitation, I'm going to give two invitations to you all. First and foremost, maybe you're in this room, you've never surrendered your life to Christ Jesus. I want to tell you, I want to be very abundantly clear about what the Bible says, okay? The Bible says if you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, then hell is not your future. It's your present day reality. He says, you're condemned already. But Jesus came to pull you out of it, to raise you up to where he is. Jesus came and lived a perfect, sinless life, and he claimed every sin that you have ever committed as if it were his own. And he died the death that we deserve for our sin. But he was raised to newness of life. He rose from the dead so that when you place your faith and your trust in Jesus, you too will raise up in newness of life, full forgiveness of sin, raised to where Christ is with the Father. So will you be saved this morning? If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, will you make today a day of salvation? Put your faith in Christ. Put your trust and your hope in Christ, and find the strength and the joy of living with Jesus. But secondly, second invitation is, if you're in a period of waiting, like some of y'all, you're in a period of waiting right now. Maybe you're going through something at work, something that's going on in your family, just maybe a really deep struggle with sin and temptation. Just whatever it may be that you're walking through, you might be in a season of waiting, and you could very well be sitting in here throughout this entire sermon being like, wow, this sounds great for other people, but I'm not seeing it work for me. Listen, if that's you this morning, my invitation for you is to just come and pray. to come pray. Either come down, kneel at the altar, pray where you are at your seat, come speak to one of our counselors that's going to be up here, but just pray and go to the Lord and go to him with the confidence, guys, that the period of waiting is just that. It's just a period. It's not your destiny. It's not your destination. It's on the road to your destination, but it ain't the destination. The destination is where he is. If you're in a period of waiting, you're just in a period of struggle. Let today be a day where you say, okay, I'm gonna wait on the Lord as Scripture calls me to. I'm gonna wait with reflection, with presence, and with obedience. Just come pray, come talk to one of our counselors. We love to talk with you and pray with you. So church, let's pray together before we move into this next song. Our Father, we love you. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for your goodness to us, God, that when we reflect on who you are, we reflect on what you've done, God, that we can have confidence of knowing that if you've done it before, you're going to do it again. God, we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. We thank you for the life you've given us. And I pray this morning for all of us who are in a season of waiting, that God, today we would find strength. God, I don't know. We don't know what your answer is always going to be. But we do know that you make all things work together for the good of those who love you. We know that you make beauty from ashes. We know that when all we see is a cross, you see an empty tomb. So we trust you, Lord. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason, counselors, find your way up here. Church, you just respond. Let's stand and let's sing together.